is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Nosebleeds. I am your host, Anthony Smith, alongside Max Langer, Emma Leonardi, and Luis Andrade, who is producing for us today. This is the last episode of Nosebleeds for the year, as the 2025 MLB season has come to a close. Let's talk about the World Series, quite possibly one of the greatest World Series that I have ever witnessed. Dodgers Blue Jays goes 7 games. A very climatic ending. I'll start with Max, the Dodgers fan here. Max, how are you feeling after that that World Series?
Oh, I feel fantastic. I feel fantastic, man. You know, what a series. Down 3-2, going back to Toronto. They've got 4 strikes to go in the final game. Miguel Rojas puts a charge into one off Jeff Hoffman. You know, that's what Joe Davis said. To beat the champs, you got to knock them out. And, wow, the Dodgers, they really came through at the most opportune time, and I can't believe it was all because of how much money they spent. That's why they won the World Series.
Another thing is just Miguel Rojas, the hero, you can maybe say for that Game 7, along with the home run, makes a big play in that bottom of the 9th inning.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
Gunning down IKF at home, just barely getting him. And then the game before, not really talked about as much, because of the home run he hit, he makes that that game-saving pick on the double play that ends Game 6, sends it to 7. But a big thing in this World Series that I've seen after it is, did the better team lose this World Series? Emma, I'll toss it over to you. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like I've got to say yes. Like, Max, I'm so sorry.
I agree.
But it should have been. I think it should have been the Blue Jays. I think that they played a lot better. I think it's so funny that the Dodgers won. Like, it makes me so upset that it's, like, comical. Like, I actually was watching that last game, and I was, like, cry laughing. I was like, this is great. Because, it was beautiful, like, baseball. But also, it would have been nice to see someone else win this year, I think.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying about how the better team ended up losing the World Series, because if you look at every statistical aspect of this series, the Blue Jays had better offense in totality. Even though Yamamoto was historic, the Blue Jays starting pitching was better with Savage and Gausman as Bieber. The Blue Jays bullpen was deeper, and you saw that in all of the Blue Jays win, they blew the Dodgers out, but the Dodgers won of the 4 close games in the series. The Dodgers were more clutch, and yeah, the champions find a way, right?
Yeah, I think entering that like Game 6, Game 7 stretch in Toronto, the Blue Jays were just significantly better in both pitching and batting, and their bullpen was also significantly better. A big thing for this Dodgers team was that their starting rotation needed to give them innings in order for them to win games, and that's how they ended up winning 3 of those games because of the World Series MVP, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Just almost alien-like, the fact that he pitches 96 pitches and then can just throw another 3 innings the day later in Game 7, Max, right?
Yeah, I mean, Yamamoto was fantastic, and the one thing it brings me back is when, you know, there was a big bidding war between the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers for Yamamoto, and he ended up going to Los Angeles. What everybody said was, oh, he's just going to be an Ohtani shadow, right? He'll never be, you know, the best Japanese player or player on that team. And then you saw here in the World Series that outside of Game 3, Ohtani really struggled, and Yamamoto was the one that led them to victory. And, man, he's earning every penny of that paycheck.
Did you guys happen to see that tweet where it was, like, a flashback to someone that tweeted paying all this money for someone that hasn't pitched in the major leagues?
Josh Reddick, Astros cheater Josh Reddick, who deactivated that tweet after the Dodgers won Game 7 of the World Series.
That was just insane. And then the fact that Yamamoto basically barked back with this amazing performance. Let's focus on some other players in this series. I think a big hero that not a lot of people are talking about, Will Smith. He, you know, hits that game the go ahead home run in Game 7, hit the go ahead home run in Game 2 as well. Another interesting stat. I think it was like the fifth straight World Series that a Will Smith has won.
I think six, actually.
Six?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, because
2020, right.
The other Will Smith won three straight, and now Dodgers Will Smith
won
back-to-back. But he was pretty clutch in this series. Let's focus on a couple more Blue Jays now. A big part of this lineup, besides really the top of the order with Vlad, of course, Ernie Clement broke the postseason record, but I think it was like 31 hits and had a hit in every World Series game.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like it was really nice to see like the Blue Jays and like some players who you don't hear about all the time, like or ever, if you're me, outside of when they play the Mets. It was nice to like see them like really shine, and like it was like going back to briefly Yamamoto. I think it was really nice to also see the Dodgers win with players other than Ohtani. Like that was, I like don't like it, and this is known for me that I don't like it when teams focus on one player and like wins are credited to one player. So I'm loving that like there are multiple players that you can look to in the series that like made it beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was really just like a team win. Like everyone really contributed. Obviously, Miguel Rojas is one that you don't expect to contribute to the team, but he really did. Big postseason moment. And then just going back to this Blue Jays team, a lineup just built of guys that, you know, don't really hit the home run ball, but just put the ball in play. Something I wanted the Yankees to do is just get guys that are going to give you good at-bats. And that's what we saw at a lot of these batters. Not only just Ernie Clement, you know, Addison Barger as well was a key part of this lineup. And then you look at the rotation, Trey Savage just coming out of nowhere. But I got a quick question for both of you guys. Just, do you think the Blue Jays continue this run next year? Or do you think, you know, they start to fall off and you don't really see, like, Ernie Clement or some of these other guys in the lineup, or like Trey Savage, doing as well as they performed in the postseason throughout the regular season?
I don't see a reason why the Blue Jays aren't going to be one of the best teams in the American League next year. Just simply because they have most of their players coming back, other than Bo Bichette, who of course is a key free agent. You know, you've got all these guys getting back. They're a younger team. They're going to continue to get better. And the Blue Jays historically, at least, or I should say in the last couple of years, have shown a willingness to spend money. They offered $700 million to Shohei Ohtani. It's not really money spending, but they were in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes until the very last day. They signed Vlad to, you know, $500 million extension. And, you know, they were four outs away from winning the World Series. So what's to say that, you know, the ownership up there in Toronto isn't going to keep spending more money to, you know, give them more cracks at the armor, so to speak?
Yeah, it's going to go one of two ways. I feel like coming in second is always the hardest place to come into, because either you take the like little shortcomings that you had that could have made you get first and you improve and you work and you have the same ethic because you're so like work ethic because you're so you were so close that you're like, we can do this, we can actually do this. Or it goes the other way and that you're like, and what was that all for? So it really depends. I think after coming so close that it goes the first way is going to be my prediction, but you never know.
I mean, obviously this lineup's good. I could see them making another postseason run. I don't think they continue their AL East dominance that they really had towards the end of the year, obviously almost giving it up. So like really right before they started giving up in late September, I think some of these players are, you know, like, are not going to perform as well as they did. You're not going to see Ernie Clement batting like 500 throughout the whole season. It's just impossible. But the Blue Jays will stay competitive. Another big part is, you know, just some of the players that they bring in and re-sign. Obviously, Bo Bichette. We'll see if, I think he did say he wanted to stay in Toronto, so we'll see if he actually does decide to stay in Toronto. And then just switching over to some of the big moments in the World Series, I'll go around the table, but I'll start here. Just your favorite moment of the World Series. I'll start. We'll go with Game 3, the 18-inning game, and Freddie Freeman's walk-off home run. In the bottom of the 18th, Freeman, who else was up? Freeman, Muncy, and Will Smith.
Yeah, right? They would have had Smith, Muncy after Freeman.
I had a feeling that one of those three was going to hit it. I thought it was going to be Max Muncy because he ended it in 2018, but Freeman ended up doing it before it eventually got to Muncy. But Freddie Freeman being the World Series hero again, giving flashbacks to last year as a Yankees fan, made me sad. But you gotta love October baseball, and it was just one of the best moments of the series, and it truly shows why October baseball is so special.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, obviously there's the Yamamoto's and Miguel Rojas's of and Freddie Freeman's of the world. I'll say the moment to me that is, like, the best moment of the World Series. Okay, I guess not the best. I'm just going to pick a moment that was really important, and that's Justin Dean letting the ball be lodged in the wall for a ground rule double, because if he doesn't do that, likely the Blue Jays tie the game. And even if they don't come back and win, they probably make the Dodgers expend more arms, which makes them winning Game 7 more difficult. So, you know, they always say it takes 26 guys to win a World Series, and I always scoff at that and be like, no, it doesn't take everybody. There's always that last guy on the bench that doesn't contribute. But, you know, it really did, you know, for the Dodgers this year. You had Ben Roethlisberger catching games. You had Justin Dean making defensive gems in center field. You know, everybody had a moment in the bullpen, from Clayton Kershaw to Edgardo Henriquez to Will Clyde throwing four scoreless innings, you know, a month after being called up. So, you know, that's kind of what the Dodgers culture did. But I'll go with Justin Dean's play.
That was a very controversial play, too. Like, I remember people were saying, like, why? Oh, like, I'm not saying it was controversial. Okay. I think it was by the rules. It was fair. It's what should have happened. But a lot of people were saying, like, he could have easily grabbed it out, thrown it in, and then the Blue Jays would have tied it. But if you look at the rule book, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
And saved the Dodgers a couple runs, but a smart play from Justin Dean.
Who's already on the Giants, by the way.
What happened?
Justin Dean's already on the Giants.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was put on waivers yesterday. The Giants claimed him.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Dodgers really just...
Baseball's a cruel sport.
Great play, but we got to let you walk, sorry, kid.
I mean, I got to go basic. I'm sorry, but the double play at six, the end of six, is just, like, beautiful baseball. Like, I was watching that. I was hate watching that. And I was like, I just... It really reminds you that even, like, through all of the, like competitive, like, all of the competitive nature between, like, teams and fan bases as well, that you can still enjoy, like, a good game of baseball. Because I was like, God, this is a good game of baseball. Like, that was really beautiful. Like, really beautiful. It brought a tear to my eye. And I couldn't care less about either of these two teams. So, yeah, I have to say that one.
I think that play is just also so underlooked just because of how good of a game Game 7 was. And it was just, like, just perfect baseball really throughout the entire series. I'm a Yankees fan, but, like, so, like, not really knowing which team I want to root for, but the fact that I got a 7-game series is one thing. The fact that it was that kind of game for the finale, it just a cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
Now shifting over to a little bit of a next year preview. Obviously, Max, you mentioned this Dodgers team, very well built, wasn't, and then Emma, you mentioned how Ohtani wasn't really the main factor for the Dodgers. It was really a good team win, everybody contributing. And the Dodgers right now, of course, are favored to win next year. Obviously, baseball, you see anyone make a run, but I think the Dodgers really got a good shot of three-peating.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the one thing going against the Dodgers in the next year is, of course, you'll look at their roster and be like, you have all the names, but they do have guys that are getting older. Mookie Betts really struggled this season at the plate. You know, he hit below 700 OPS. He's going to be a year older. Freddie Freeman has 2 years left as a Dodger. And even some of these other guys, like Max Muncy and Teoscar Hernandez, you know, they're going to regress. Nobody beats Father Time. But I still think the Dodgers, you know, the other aspect is their bullpen was awful. So that is bound to improve. And of course, you know, this is the last offseason before the CBA expires. So if there's any offseason to go out there and sign, you know, for the top 10 free agents again, they're going to do it again this year, right? Because why wouldn't they?
Another thing with this Dodgers team, you just mentioned it right there, is that the fact that they don't care. They sign anybody they want. I know there's a lot of rumors going around who they might sign and who they might trade for. We'll get into that a little bit later. But Emma, thoughts on this Dodger team going into the 2026 season?
I hate to say it, but I do think that it could be a three-peat. Like, I hate to say it because I really, really, really want... We were talking about this before the podcast. I really want a random to win. Just, like, a random team that, like, nobody expects. I would love that to happen. Kind of like, I feel like what happened with the Blue Jays this year, except then they lost, obviously. But, I think odds are in Max and the Dodgers' favor. In this one.
I mean, the one thing I will say is that the one thing that bothers me is, like, you listen to a lot of people who maybe aren't diehard baseball fans, like, you know, Jason Kelsey on the New Heights podcast was like, of course the best team won. They spent all the money. But if you watch the games, you'll know that it wasn't a given that the Dodgers were going to win the World Series at any point. And it's not going to be a given next year. I mean, the Blue Jays were this close. So there is a, you know, a very high likelihood, you know, as much as you won't want to admit it, that things can and will go wrong for the Dodgers next year. Now, because they spend so much and have so much talent, they have a bigger margin for error. But to act that, you know, some people like Jason Kelsey or whatever are acting like the team that always spends the most money is going to win, I think is kind of, you know, a bit foolish. They do have a shot, but I think, you know, it's not any higher than it was this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, nothing is guaranteed in the Major League Baseball. But another thing with this Dodgers team, I really thought this series was going to end in five, maybe even four. And the fact that Toronto took it to have two outs left in that top of the ninth just really shows that there is nothing guaranteed in baseball, no matter how talented a roster the Dodgers had and how well built they were. The Blue Jays nearly, you know, were that surprise team and nearly took off the defending champs. Now, behind the Dodgers, second in odds for next year are the Yankees, and then followed by the Phillies and the Mets. For the Yankees, they just decided to keep Tim Hill. They let Jonathan Loaisiga go. Bellinger becomes a free agent. Trent Grisham was offered a deal. A lot of money. I don't really think that the Yankees should have offered anything for Trent Grisham. I thought they should have let him walk. I think there's better options out there. I think that Trent Grisham really disappeared in the postseason and that he's an aging player and just had his best season. And I don't think you're going to get that out of him next year. But I'll pass it along to you guys on just what do you think the Yankees should really do, starting off with this outfield, and then we'll kind of go into more depth of what they should do with the rest of the roster.
Yeah. We also have a Yankees fan producing here today, so we should definitely get his thoughts on the Yankees roster as well.
Lewis?
You want to circle around or?
Yeah, come give your thoughts on the Yankees, man.
Yeah,
you know.
All right.
Got a good Yankees opinion here besides me.
First thing on that Trent Grisham qualifying offer, I think it was a good pickup. Not in the case that, like, you know, he might be falling off next season, but we could also get draft compensation if things don't go our way or if he declines it or whatever happens in that scenario. I don't like letting Jonathan Loaisiga go. He was a good guy for us for many years. He's been dealing with a lot of injuries, and we haven't given him the chance to really bounce back. He hasn't had a full season in, like, 2 years.
I think the thing with Loaisiga is that he's got the stuff, but just the injuries just always kept him out of the game. Like, we've had him for years, and, like, if he's healthy, he's good, but, like, we just don't, like, he can't stay on the field, which really sucks. I just already know he's going to sign with, like, the Blue Jays or, like, the Red Sox or something and become the nastiest reliever, kind of like Aroldis Chapman, and, like, shut us down in, like, the postseason.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you let him go like that, other questions come up, like, who are we going to replace? Because our bullpen it fell off really hard compared to our 2024 season, where guys were like Luke Weaver were dominating, and now that's just another hole we have to fill, and it kind of brings up a lot of questions. Like, Anthony, I don't know if you have anyone in mind, but, like, who do we sign now? Like, it's just, like, not a good market right now.
I don't know. It's just, like, do you want to bring back Devin Williams? But, you know, I think he's going to want that closer money, and you don't want to really want to sign him for all that money just for him to be the setup guy like he was throughout, like, that second half of the season.
I don't think he's in the position to get closer money, especially, like, he fell off hard. Like, it was that those first couple months were really bad, but I would love to have him as a setup guy because he was wonderful in that role. He really, like, dominated.
I would love that too, but I think he's just going to want the closer money. I don't think he deserves the closer money, but I think that's what he's going to want. And I don't think the Yankees are going to be willing to give it to him just because he's not going to be closing game. It's David Bednar.
I mean, hopefully it works out for us because, you know, Yankees are really a cutthroat team when it comes to contracts. And hopefully we kind of take that same approach and that, you know, we like, hey, you can go look around to other teams. You can go to the Red Sox, the Dodgers, whoever you want to, and you're going to realize you're not that guy anymore, unfortunately. So you just got to, like, get what you get. You can stick with us. You guys, you looked wonderful in pinstripes. You can stick with us, or you can go somewhere else and get paid less, for all you know.
He did say he wanted to stay a Yankee. We'll talk more about just Cody Bellinger news now. Obviously, he's becoming a free agent. I really wanted the Yankees to re-sign Cody Bellinger. Had a great year this year. Not only could he just play center field, left field, he's also a first baseman, so he's good utility for the Yankees. Has great defense, as we saw throughout the year. Max mentioned this earlier. He wants to see Cody Bellinger back with the Dodgers.
Back in L.A., a Hollywood reunion, baby, and it's a perfect fit. They need outfield. Bellinger, he won an MVP there. We know Andrew Friedman loves him. We know the team loves him. But I do think the Yankees also want to bring him back, so, you know.
I don't know if they will. I think with that Trent Grisham news, it really just kind of surprises me as to what idea they have for this offseason. And also another thing with this Yankees team is that they have a lot of young guys in the outfield that they could start. Jason Dominguez didn't really get any playing time throughout that second half or in the postseason. They maybe stick him back in center field. It was his original position, but obviously they stuck him out and left. You have Spencer Jones in the minors who was smashing home runs, and then obviously Judge and Wright. Emma, I'll ask you a little bit of your opinion on this. What do you think the Yankees should go with the outfield route of Cody Bellinger and this, the Trent Grisham news?
I mean, I'm, like, shocked. Like, I don't, like, keep up with the Yankees as much as I do with the Mets. I try not to think about the Yankees as much as is pushed on me against my will. But, like, I was shocked that they didn't, like, they let him become a free agent. So, him being Bellinger. I think it would be really great for Max if he went back to the Dodgers. And I really, like, can't hate that for him. Like, I think he would, like, as you said, I think he would fit in well there.
Yeah, you can hate the Dodgers, but you can still be happy for me when the Dodgers do
I can be happy for Max. I don't have to be happy for the Dodgers. I can be happy for Max. Yeah, that's as far as my opinions about that go, though.
I really don't want to see him in the Dodger blue. I'd rather see him back in the pinstripes. When he signed with us, it felt like got traded to us. It felt like he was, like, such a Yankee. Like, he was destined to be a Yankee. Looked really good in the pinstripes. Obviously, his dad played with us in the Yankees' old days when they used to win. And now we'll shift over to Emma's expertise, the New York Mets.
Oh, yes.
Missing the postseason. Obviously, a very disappointing year.
Yes.
After signing Juan Soto. But some more free offseason news for this Mets team. Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso opting out of their contracts. Not confirmed if they're actually leaving, but Emma, what are your general thoughts on those two?
I mean, I think I'll get to Pete Alonso in a second because I have way more to say about that. Edwin Diaz, first of all, I would so miss the trumpets if he left. Like, please.
Love the trumpets.
Please. Like, come on. Like, it's just so good.
It's legendary.
It's legendary. I think they extend the qualifying offer to him and he stays if he doesn't resign, like, before they would extend that offer to him. So I think he's good. I think he's staying a Met. I'm not concerned about that. He actually, like, went on record to say that he would love to stay with the team if, like, it were to work out. Pete Alonso, oh my little Pete. I am so upset.
Sounding like it's your dog or something.
Yeah, that's my man. I love that man.
Pete Alonso will be a Washington National very, very soon. I can already tell.
So that's crazy that you say that because we definitely didn't go over this before the podcast, but I'm actually a DC native. So that would be insane. I would be really upset with that because he doesn't deserve that. No offense to the Nationals, but he doesn't deserve that. I'm just so upset with them for letting him be a free agent. Like, 2 years in a row. Come on, guys.
I think it feels just kind of like disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. It's so disrespectful. And if he left, I wouldn't, like, if he like got signed to somewhere else, I wouldn't even blame him. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's the most likely outcome.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
He'll definitely leave. Yeah. Because he's a Boris guy and he's not going to keep signing one-year contracts, and there's no way the Mets are going to want to give him a long-term deal. Yeah. As far as the Diaz situation goes, I think it's probably likely he's back, just because, you know, the Mets need a back-end closer. You know, Helsley struggled at the end of last year. Diaz was kind of the only guy that they had. But the Mets need so much more than just Diaz and Alonso to be back. They need a complete organizational overhaul, which they've 100%. Kind of already had outside of 100%. Mendoza. You know, they hired the awful Padres third base coach Tim Leeper yesterday. You're gonna get the full Tim Leeper experience, because I hate watch the Padres, and he's gonna send Lindor on ground balls in the infield. Like, you're gonna get a lot of runners thrown out of home plate. But, you know, the Mets need a lot. They need starting pitching, you know, maybe Tarik Skubal if the Tigers decide to trade him. But the Mets, you know, they are watching this World Series, I think you could probably agree, Emma, that the Mets were nowhere close to the level of either of these two teams.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, reflect on it. I was so upset. Like, I was so upset with how they performed this entire season. Like, it fills me with so much, like, rage and anger and also sadness. Just so much endless sadness.
I mean, they had a pretty good start to the season. It kind of,
but like, the fact
off.
That like we started like that and we're here now makes it that much more depressing.
The expectations were also through the roof, just because you made the NLCS and I then know. You went out and got Juan Soto.
Yep.
But this kind of reminds me of,
it's like a Greek tragedy.
It is. Sorry, it's, you know, it literally is like a Greek tragedy. It's insane.
Yes. It reminds me of the season a couple years ago when they got Lindor and everyone's like, oh, Mets are winning the division. They started off really strong and ended up missing the postseason.
Yep.
So maybe next year they're destined for a postseason run. But obviously they got to fix up some of the holes on their team.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think Edwin Diaz is a piece that they will end up bringing back.
Yeah.
A lot of that bullpen and some of the guys they even traded for struggled. And as for Pete Alonso, I don't think he comes back, just because he is being disrespected by this New York Mets organization. After all he's done for the past couple years, he's kind of been like the face of the franchise until obviously Juan Soto was signed. So I think he goes somewhere else, maybe across town to the Bronx.
No. That would make me so... If that happened, listen, I think I would feel a rage that I've never felt before.
If you
in my
got
life.
Soto, it's only fair that we get Alonso.
No. No. Yes. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Can you
no,
imagine those Oppo shot Pete Alonso home runs going over the short porch in Yankee Stadium? Oh,
that won't be.
I can see it already. Absolute cinema.
It makes me so upset, because
Lewis is smiling right there. I can see it.
It's also just like the thing I think that is also just so upsetting is that it's not the fans are disrespecting Alonso. It's the organization. And the fans are mad at the organization, because we love Pete. Like, we love that man.
Doesn't, like, Steve Cohen definitely have the money to do it, too?
Yeah, he definitely does. And it makes me so angry. And, like, the fact that, like, literally, when I'm telling you the statistics, the big four, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, and Nimmo, had a batting average of .266, while the rest of the usual lineup had an average of .218. And, like, the fact that their average of home runs and RBIs was so much higher than the rest of the lineup, it makes me so mad that they're letting one of those four people go, when we should be expanding that four, and we should also... Can we also talk about how the rest of the lineup needs to step up and be better? Because, like, what is going on? Like, it makes me so frustrated watching it. It's just, like, because there's so much potential and they're not living up to it. And, like, you're letting Alonso leave, who, like, has that potential and is living up to it, and you're letting him go. It's just so frustrating. Sorry about ranting about that, guys. But
no, we
it's,
appreciate
it's
I mean,
so,
it's good to have the Mets
that's,
intel.
That's the life of being a Mets fan.
That's
though,
the life
so
of
really
the life of
you.
Being a Mets fan is just disappointment depressing. And depression. Like, yeah.
And then you mentioned that lineup just needing to step up besides those four guys. I really thought that Mark Vientos was going to take a big step this season after his incredible postseason run. and he didn't. Francisco Alvarez, the catcher that they had expected big things out of him when he was called up, got called down to AAA, got called back up. He was just been up and down, and then the rest of the Mets lineup just needs to step up, needs to be a lot of change. And I think a big part that Steve Cohen needs to fix on this Mets team is the starting rotation.
100%.
I don't even know who their number one starter is. It's just like it was a combination
Peterson,
of
Peterson, I think.
Clay Holmes and
yeah.
Yeah, Peterson. Mania. Peterson was like probably our best pitcher
this season.
Which is shocking because I hated Peterson like 2 seasons ago. Every time he would step on the mound, I'd be like, oh my God, my life is over today. Like, time to go home, time to pack it up, we're losing. So it's actually really interesting that that happened. So I don't know what they did with Peterson. No idea. But can they do that with everyone else? Because, like, it's also like he didn't even get that much better. So it's like he did get better. But it's just we need better pitching and we need better everything, kind of. Which is really upsetting to say. I don't know how we were like I know how we were doing so well at the beginning, but I also don't know how we were doing so well at the beginning. Like, it just, you look at it and like honestly the end of the season made sense. And I was talking to my roommate, Grace McCarron, shout out Grace McCarron, and we were like, they don't deserve to go like beyond, like they don't deserve to go into October baseball. They don't at all. And like that's coming from like 2 really big Mets fans. So it's going to be so interesting this next season. And hopefully it doesn't make me hate my life more than I already do.
What about like some of those guys like they called up to help with the rotation? I know Nolan McLean was like on a really good run for this Mets team. They called up Jonah Tong later in that season. You think that they could take a big step to helping out this rotation and then maybe the Mets go out and sign or trade for a couple guys that could really be that number one, number two option going forward?
Yeah, honestly, I like the outcome when they like pull people up and when they pull people back up, because you see Brett Beatty and you see the performance that he did this season compared to his performances before, and he spent a lot of time in AAA before he got called back up this season, and the outcome is just like it was so much better. It wasn't perfect, not by any means, but it was so much better. So I'd love to see them do that with more players and like mix it up a little bit and like make these players fight for their spot in that lineup, not necessarily the big four, but the rest of them, like make them fight for it, because like give them something to play for, something to want. Like, it just feels like they don't want anything. Like, yeah, they're just playing.
I think one thing that's important to bring up about what the Mets did last year and what they're going to look like going forward is that, you know, the tandem of Cohen and Stearns did spend a ton of money on this team. They brought in guys. They're paying Marte a ton of money. You've got Tyrone Taylor, I guess. You're paying him a ton of money. You've got all these bullpen guys. And at the end of the day, I think it sort of speaks volumes to, for me, it speaks volumes that 2 of the most disappointing teams in MLB history, in my opinion, the 2025 Mets and the 2023 Padres, both had Juan Soto on it. So maybe this is a little bit of my conspiracy theorist that Juan Soto takes great teams and makes them not perform and miss October by the sliver of their hair. But I don't know. Juan Soto, I think, obviously he was great last year, even though he wasn't named an All-Star, he still won a Silver Slugger yesterday, which is crazy to think about. But you know, Juan Soto, he doesn't need to be better, but I think maybe he needs to be a bit of a better teammate, because we know the stories. There have been stories coming out about how Juan Soto in the hitters meetings doesn't pay attention. He just listens with AirPods in his ears. So I, like I said before, I think the Mets need a culture change. I think a lot of it there, ever since, you know, the end of 2024, something has not felt right about the Mets.
I think another thing that with Juan Soto is that he really just, he has his money now, and it's like, I don't think he's going to care as much as he should. Obviously, with the Yankees, he was like fighting for that big contract, and I think that's what led him to having such a great season with New York, eventually leading them to the World Series. And I completely forgot about that Padres team, Max. It's interesting you mentioned that. That team was loaded with talent. It was Soto, Tatis, Machado, and I think Bogarts, yep, who was already on the
Bogarts, team. Bogarts, that Snell, Darvish, and Musgrove, Josh Hader in the bullpen.
That NLCS appearance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had that team to win the World Series, but I always had the Padres win the World Series because I feel like they're that sneaky team. But then they actually don't do it, and it just really just gets my hopes up and then crushes it. But and then Emma, earlier you just mentioned, like, just calling up people from AAA, seeing how they play. It's something that the Yankees did so well, getting bringing up Cam Schlittler, and he pitched great in the postseason. It's unfortunate we didn't get to see more of him because they get bounced so early. But obviously that Game 3 performance against Boston, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he does in the rest of his Yankee years.
So funny that you bring him up. This might blow your minds. He is my roommate's cousin.
Your roommate's cousin? Grace McCarron or
no.
Someone else?
No.
I'm confused with what's
we
going
have,
on.
I have two other roommates. So we're in a triple, and my roommate, Leah Renshaw, it's her cousin.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was just like mind-blowing. Like, and I
wasn't expecting to hear that one today on the pod.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully she doesn't kill me for saying that on the pod. Hashtag sorry, Leah. That would be amazing. Yeah. I would love for them to try to bring people up and just see what can happen. Just mix it up.
Now let's move on to some of the big free agents before we do wrap up here. I'm just going to name a couple here and then maybe a possible big trade target that I mentioned earlier before.
Let's do some predictions. Name them and we'll predict where they end up.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
So let's go. I have only a couple listed here, but just for starters, Kyle Tucker, where do we think that he is landing?
Kyle Tucker, I'm going to go with the Yankees. I think it makes too much sense for Kyle Tucker to end up on the Yankees. I think, you know, coming off an ALDS loss, the Yankees need to make a little bit of a splash here. I think, you know, the Dodgers are going to bring back Cody Bellinger, which means they're not going to sign Kyle Tucker, and the Yankees are going to have a need for him. And Kyle Tucker, you know, he just seems like he was made for the bright lights of New York. So I think he's going to end up playing in pinstripes next year.
I'm going to have to go with the same thing. Took the words right out of my mouth. Like, yeah.
Don't tell me we're going to do a clean sweep right now because I was going to go Kyle Tucker to the Yankees too. Wow. I think this is going to be the Yankees' so-called big splash of the offseason. Just trying to bounce back of Cody Bellinger if he does not sign with the Yankees. And you get him for more years, and he is younger, a better player, I would say. It should be sweet to how he performs in that Yankee Stadium. And now moving on to another former Astro, Alex Bregman. Where do we think that he is landing, guys?
Alex Bregman, on opening day next year, will be Detroit Tiger. Made too much sense for them to sign him last offseason. They didn't do it. They came up short this year. They needed more offense behind Skubal. He's a perfect fit there. And as much as I like to disagree with Ben Verlander, who also thinks he should end up in Detroit, I think it is a match made in heaven.
All right. So I'm actually going to say I'm going to do an either-or type of situation here. One of these two people is going to end up on the Mets, I think, if Pete Alonso really does leave. It's either Alex Bregman or it's Kyle Schwarber. Like, and that's really what I have to say. And like, I think that like if Pete Alonso really goes, I think they're really gonna try and get Alex Bregman. Based on what I've been reading and what I've been hearing. What do you think?
I like the Alex Bregman to the Tigers move. It feels like a lot of sense just because they were pushing for him last year and now he's back in the market. I think they will go out and get him. And then interesting, you mentioned Kyle Schwarber. Next on the list, where do you think that he's going, Max?
Going back to the Phillies. He was too integral a part of their team for them to let him go. Both Schwarber and Dombrowski and Rob Thompson have all expressed an interest in either being back in Philadelphia or re-signing Kyle Schwarber. They have the money to do it. It just feels like a perfect fit. I don't see how it doesn't get done.
I've heard rumors that the Mets are going to try and get him, and I hate that idea because why are we taking a Philly? Sorry, but why are we taking a Philly? That's just so, like, that makes me so angry. And also, I don't really like Kyle Schwarber, so, like, I don't really want him to.
What do you have against Kyle Schwarber?
I just don't like him. Okay,
because he's on the Phillies.
Yeah, probably because he's on the Phillies, and I don't think that seeing him in a Mets uniform is gonna make that any different. I think
feels
I'm
weird.
Still gonna see him as a Philly, and I think that he goes back to the Phillies. I hope.
Can't imagine.
I just want to say this: one of my favorite baseball quotes I ever heard. I actually heard this while I was sitting at Citi Field one time. There was this dad and his kid there, and the kid said, "Dad, why I like Matt Olson better than Pete Alonso?" And the dad went to the kid and he said, "Son, this is the one thing you need to learn about baseball. We cheer for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. So I will tell you right now, if Kyle Schwarber is a New York Met, by this time next year, you will be ooing and aahing about him to no end."
When the Mets get bounced in the postseason or don't even make the postseason. I've heard a lot of rumors, not really to the Mets, though, to the Yankees, that Kyle Schwarber may be coming to the Bronx. I don't really see it. I think he does stay in Philadelphia. As much as I would... Actually, I'm not going to say that, because I was going to say, as much as I love him in the Bronx with that swing, I don't think he fits what I kind of look for in a baseball team now. It's just like, as a contact hitter, it's more he's just a good power guy, and he's just going to hit the ball like 470 feet. But I think the Phillies would not be smart to bring him back, because he fits so well in Philadelphia. He's a good hitter in that top of the lineup. And then just moving on to the last free agent here, it was announced today that MLB teams can now go after him. Munetaka Murakami played with the Japan team. Max, what are your thoughts on Murakami here?
Yeah, I mean, everybody says he's going to the Dodgers because they sign all the guys from Japan. But if you look at it realistically, they already have a DH and they already have a third baseman. So it really doesn't make much sense for them to sign Murakami. I think he goes 120 miles south down the I-5 to the San Diego Padres. You know, even though Yu Darvish is technically the worst recruiter of all time because he's tried to recruit 5 Japanese guys to the team and they've all ended up either going to LA or Chicago, I think he lands Murakami, who, by the way, is slugging less than 100 on fastballs above 93 miles an hour in Japan. So I don't even think he's going to be that great, but I think the Padres are going to, you know, land him.
Emma?
I think it's anyone's guess. I mean, like, I literally think it could be anywhere. I agree. I don't.
The Rockies. He's going to the Rockies.
Yeah, he's going to the Rockies, guys. He's going to hang out. He's going to hang out in Colorado. No, it really is anyone's guess. I mean, I'm going to be so interested to see what happens with that. But I really can't make a guess.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that could be up in the market. Obviously, you look at the Dodgers immediately because they have Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Sasaki. And then you look at, you know, the Yankees because they've missed out on a couple of these guys. They missed out, obviously, on Yamamoto. I think, really, it could be anybody's game here. Mentioned the Padres. Another potential fit that I saw was the Mariners. I don't think he ends up with the Dodgers-Yankees. I think it's just a battle between the Mariners or the Padres for who gets Murakami, but it will be interesting to see where he goes. And then lastly, not a free agent, but a big potential trade target this year, if they could get a package out of him, for Tarik Skubal. Obviously, we mentioned the Mets before might be willing to go and trade for him, get that ace. Maybe the Dodgers, just because, I mean, why not make their team any more better? Or the Yankees. So really the three big market teams. And what are your guys' thoughts on Skubal possibly being traded this offseason, Emma?
I mean, I think definitely will be to the big three. I completely agree with you. Like,
you think it happens this offseason, or you think he plays one more in Detroit?
I think that it happens this offseason, because I think that, like, Detroit... My relatives are going to hate this because they're all Tigers fans, but I think that, like, Detroit, the way that they performed, is just not enticing enough for him to stay there.
Well, it's not really his choice, and they're never going to bring him back because they don't have the money to.
Well, yes, it's not his choice, but, like, it's not enticing to keep him, if that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's not.
It isn't his choice, but also think about the haul you can get back from him, as he is in his prime right now after back-to-back Cy Youngs and just... The outcome of a game changes so much when Skubal is on the mound. I know they somehow lost that DS series to the Mariners, but, like, two of those games they had Skubal starting. That was just a big factor for that series. But Max, what do you think about Skubal? You think he gets moved on to a new team this offseason?
I think Tarek Skubal next year is on one of two teams. It's either the Detroit Tigers or the Los Angeles Dodgers, because I think the Dodgers are the only team that has the prospect capital enough to actually get a deal together for Skubal, because the only other team I think that could do it are the Yankees, and they've shown that they're so hesitant to hold on to their top prospects, especially with the lockout looming. I think, you know, either the Dodgers push all the chips in or he stays put.
And then you mentioned that Yankees team. We didn't really see them make any big trades till that Juan Soto trade just 2 years ago. But I think if you do go out and trade for Tarek Skubal, I think it is worth it to trade all those prospects. You look at the team, Garrett Cole's time is running out. He's coming off the Tommy John surgery, bouncing back this year. And then Judge's window is closing, although he's been playing insanely great and he still is prime. You wonder how many years you're going to get left out of Judge. I think the Yankees should be in win now mode, and they should be aggressive and try and get Tarek Skubal. That is going to conclude the final edition of Nosebleeds for the 2025 season. We will be back once opening day rolls around, but for now, special thanks to my co-host Max Langer, Emily Inardi, and Luis Andrade behind the board. I have been Anthony Smith, and Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.